runs through the bridle or is very inconsistent from one ride to the next, there could be a chronic magnesium deficiency there. And
magnesium is also involved in numerous functions in the body. And basically, to start, magnesium is one of the major minerals in bone.
Welcome everyone to episode 109 of the Sen Nutrition Podcast. You're with your host Brian and Peter today. And today's topic is the benefits of magnesium. Is your horse deficient? How are you, Peter?
Brian, I think I might need some magnesium after the weekend.
Give your muscles a workout?
I did. There's a few fireworks in a users group too. Very entertaining. So if anyone's not, any of our listeners are not in a users group, highly recommend you join our community. It's almost 4,000 users now, isn't there?
Yeah, it's a very good group of Sen supporters and some not Sen supporters, but we like to have good constructive discussions in there. And yeah, it's a good space to show off your Sen success as well.
Yeah, and also ask questions. Obviously, you know, there's no such thing as a silly question, so it's good for, you know, users and even people that are thinking of sort of trying some of our products and supplements to just get in there and just get your feet wet and ask away.
Yeah, and we also get good topics for the podcast, including this one. And as you know, magnesium is a nutrient that is required by the horse, but many horse owners don't know how crucial it is and essential for a horse to actually function with adequate levels.
Yeah, I think, you know, most people would think, you know, when their horse's behavior sort of goes a bit sour or a bit sort of erratic or even irate, it's a magnesium deficiency. And look, to a degree, it might be, you know, also feeding, you know, 4 or 5 or 6 kilograms of a grain-based feed would contribute to that as well. But magnesium is very underrated. And obviously, Brian and I today would like to sort of, you know, knock the nail on the head and actually just bring out the importance of why it is important in a horse's diet.
Yeah, we're going to go through the benefits and also signs of deficiency of magnesium. But first, let's just highlight how crucial this is for the body and the whole system of a horse. So as we look through all the research and science, it has been identified that over 300 enzymes that require magnesium to function in the body, and it is required for all genetic material, including DNA and RNA. And so the horse cannot survive without it. And virtually all the body functions in the horse require this and need adequate magnesium levels in the body. And we'll go through where it's actually stored and how much is in the blood.
Yeah, and I think probably more so in America, like magnesium isn't listed on a lot of feed bags too, where I think in Australia it's a bit more sort of transparent. Brian and I, obviously, we haven't sort of shortchanged magnesium on any of our products because we know the actual significance of how important it is. And there is a bit of a, you know, combination where you don't want to feed too much and not enough. Obviously, there's calcium, there's magnesium, you know, both fight for absorption as well. So we'll try to clear all that up in today's podcast.
Yeah, and also its interactions with calcium. So calcium is a major part of muscle and nerve reactions, being the trigger and facilitator. And where magnesium comes into this is it functions more like the regulator of this, so the opposite to contracting. So the more relaxation of the muscle or the ability to uncontract is where magnesium comes into. And then these show up in the signs of the symptoms of magnesium deficiency.
Yeah, Brian mentioned earlier there's over 300 enzyme sort of reactions with, you know, with magnesium. But magnesium is also involved in numerous functions in the body. And basically, to start, magnesium is one of the major minerals in bone. And sort of that did my head in. Like, I didn't think it was, it's up to 60% of magnesium is found in a skeleton, which is a lot higher than what I thought. And with only 30% that is available for mobilization during times when it is needed elsewhere in the body.
Yeah, and we'll probably side note here is if you see a magnesium test on your blood test, it actually isn't really an accurate indication of the magnesium levels in your horse because you're only measuring the blood component of magnesium. You're not measuring the bone or the other parts of the body because you're not taking tissue biopsies like that. So if there's only about 1% of the whole body's magnesium in the blood and you're only measuring that 1%, it can be an inaccurate way to see how much magnesium is in the horse's body. So what we have to do as horse owners is ensure that we have adequate supply in the diet through nutrition and in all various forms. So you have, obviously, the most common is magnesium oxide. The more latest technology or what you can supplement in is, there is the chelated minerals, but also some that are marine sourced as well, which is really good quality. So ensuring those levels in the diet is often a good insurance to make sure that the whole body functions properly with adequate magnesium levels.
Yeah, that's well summarized, Brian. And just to mention on a side note too, Brian's done, I think, over 120,000 blood readings in your previous career.
Yeah, I can do them blindfolded as a joke. But yeah, I find that when we do look at blood tests, and I get blood tests being sent to me from all parts of Australia, from trainers, studs, stables, everywhere, just for second opinions. And because I can identify patterns and like results that may be over-diagnosed by certain individuals to peddle more products or medications, we've got to be aware that the body is always in a state of trying to balance itself every day or every hour. So what that means is it can pull minerals and nutrients from parts of the body to balance the blood concentrations. So blood tests are just a snapshot in time of the horse then, but then 24 hours later, it could be in a different snapshot, and that's when you get your blood results back. So the point is, look at the horse and the horse's symptoms first and see how they are acting before looking at the blood test results and trying to get a diagnosis from the blood to then transcribe to how the horse is reacting, because you can over-diagnose what's going on unless it is plain and clear in the blood test results itself.
It can be a bit of a sort of rabbit hole. Like once you sort of dive in there, it's very hard to get out.
Yeah, and I think we will dedicate a podcast on interpreting blood tests in a nice, simple way so our horse owners can get a good grasp on what we're trying to say here. But what you do is obviously have a vet that you can trust, and then sort of look at the signs and symptoms that the horse presents. And in the case of magnesium deficiency, we're going to go through those deficiency signs.
Brian, what I found interesting doing research into this podcast was that magnesium helps protect against inflammation and free radical damage. What it showed promise was, in a field of veterinary medicine, is the link in a protective role of magnesium against damage from endotoxins. So horses with colic, the results in endotoxin release or laminitis are known to often have low blood magnesium levels. And there is hope that the treatment with magnesium during these critical times may decrease the amount of damage that occurs.
Yeah, and that totally makes sense, because when you do have colic, it's that smooth muscle in the intestinal wall. It can't relax, or it's too contracted, and then those colic symptoms appear. So maybe there is a link, but obviously there's many other factors involved, like hydration and all the other aspects that contribute to colic. But when you look at performance horses in general and the requirement for magnesium levels in their diet, having that in a sufficient way can really help prevent colic in the future, or if you have a colic-prone horse.
I think it's safe to say to have that magnesium box ticked rather than unticked, because that's one less thing you got to worry about in case the horse is dehydrated and then you're not sure which one it is.
Yeah, 100%. This is just covering off on that insurance that every horse should have sufficient magnesium levels. And as we look through the signs of magnesium deficiency, you'll have it all nearly related to muscles. So like unable to physically relax or even mentally relax. If you have a horse that is always on edge, this could be a sign. Muscle tremors, twitches, flinching of skin all over the body, and also that body tension that you notice. And I think a lot of body workers that get really close and personal to the horses can really identify this. And I think they do let the owners know that there could be some trace mineral deficiency, and including magnesium.
Well, if magnesium is low in the cell, there will be an impaired carbohydrate metabolism and reduced insulin response as well.
Yeah, there's data that backs that up, and the effect on insulin resistance, it's been clearly identified that magnesium deficiency can contribute. Another side of this is, if you have a horse that spooks a lot or runs through the bridle or is very inconsistent from one ride to the next, there could be a chronic magnesium deficiency there. And just double checking your levels in the diet, also remembering, and you might ask what is the levels that are required, the NRC does have levels that they recommend. So a horse in light, medium work, 15 to 20 grams a day. So if you turn over the back of your bag, just ensure you're getting that amount, even a little bit more if you're in performance. But one thing to note is absorption of magnesium, it depends on the other nutrients like calcium and phosphorus in the diet. So Peter and I want to highlight that, okay, maybe you are hitting the required grams per day of magnesium for your horse in that workload, but the NRC does state that magnesium in the absorption from feeds can be as low as 40%. So 40 to 60% they've quoted. So in their little blurb, yes, hit your 15 to 20 grams, but also ensure that it could be a higher demand than that level. And that's what we want to state. The other thing to note is magnesium toxicity. So too much magnesium in the diet is not until they get up to 80, 90 to 100 grams. So you're not going to hit that unless they break into a feed barn and demolish the whole 20 kgs of the grain-free or whatever they're feeding. Because when you look at the hay portion, when you look at your grassy hay or pasture portion, makes up for about 30, 33% of the magnesium you require. You top this up with a quality vitamin mineral supplement like the grain-free Lasea 50. But then, as you know, Send Lupin Pellet Plus now has marine source calcium. It also has marine source magnesium in it as well. And this was included to help balance that whole overall profile. And it's only a benefit and an insurance for those horses in harder work that require the calories. And Peter and I feel that it's going to have a real good benefit on their muscle health especially.
Yeah, well, why we added the marine source magnesium into Lupin Pellet Plus was obviously to help balance out the calcium, but knowing that a lot of people do have performance horses and, you know, some of them do train from 5 to 7 days a week. So those horses' requirements are going to be substantially higher than if you've got, you know, Shetland pony that's just a paddock ornament that's, you know, that's there to keep you happy.
Yeah, correct. And they're fine on the Send Grain Free or the Send Sea 50. Even going back to the reduced uptake, so if you only supplemented calcium and phosphorus, it is going to have a impact on the magnesium. So having that balance through the diet is so important and crucial. There's many factors, even age. As a horse ages, their absorption isn't as efficient. So yeah, I think the point of highlighting the importance of magnesium in the body and also this podcast is to get your levels on the higher side within reason, not in the toxic side, but as we highlighted, it'd be very hard to get to the toxicity.
Yeah, and that's what we've decided to run with it, because obviously to hit that toxicity level, as Brian mentioned, it might be, you know, one or two bags of the grain-free, or even to that fact, you know, the new Lupin Pellet Plus. So it's very hard to get to the high level to toxicity, but it's a bit of a gray area to know, obviously, with the absorption rate, how much getting absorbed, whether you're using an oxide or whether you've got a natural marine one, whether you've got a chelated magnesium. It's a can of worms, really. So you're better off being on the high side, as Brian said, than creating a deficiency, because the problem is, over time, once your horse builds a magnesium deficiency, it's not like whether you're going to give it, you know, 50 grams in one day and that deficiency is going to get corrected. It could take weeks, if not months, to correct that magnesium deficiency.
Yeah, you're 100% right, Peter. Chronic deficiency, which is what we're trying to avoid, comes from sufficient daily feeding, and that's what we're achieving at Sen with our profiles. And yeah, you don't want to get into the part where you do have that chronic deficiency and you've got to start overloading, because that's not going to work. And what we find is, if you do have a horse with adequate magnesium levels, they're going to be more consistent in their performance because everything's functioning properly, including that mental side for them. And you're going to have them at their peak performance with this.
Yeah, you're better off having more than less, as Brian mentioned. Correct. Brian, should we go into some of the telltale signs of magnesium deficiency in horses?
Yeah, so moving through all the muscle symptoms that we explained earlier, you can also have other symptoms like that history of tying up. That could be a magnesium deficiency. Fatiguing. Also, horses that kind of run on adrenaline. So the ones that you need to work before being worked to calm them down, these horses can really benefit from more magnesium in the diet if you can check your levels. Obviously, every horse is different. But also, there's been descriptions of a horse having difficulty collecting or picking his back up under saddle or moves hollow. So you've got all these kind of body related symptoms that can really, if you do have a horse that shows this, the owner could really look at the magnesium levels in the diet and then make a judgment call whether to include something in the diet to help correct this. And what we tried to aim is simplify the diet so you don't have to get another bucket of magnesium or other supplements. And what by including it in our fiber conditioning feed, then you just save time and money by having it all in one.
As a prime example, Brian, I went through and did a consult, I think it was last Friday, and the poor lady, I won't mention any names, she had, I think there was like 16 or 17 different sort of herbs and spices, powders, potions. It was just all over the place. And what we worked out to be is that whoever did the actual diet for her, the nutritionist that did the diet, it was very hard to balance the feeds that she was feeding, and then you had to balance the feeds with these supplements, and that just turned out to be like a bucket full of powders, and then some of the horses weren't eating and anything like that. How we're different at centers, we have a complete diet that is balanced. So a lot of our, say the grain-free or the CF50, you might be feeding a calcium powdered supplement or a calcium pellet or a magnesium powder. We've got extremely high levels in a grain-free and a CF50. So if you're feeding our feed, you don't need to feed two or three of those supplement powders or other pellets. It's balanced. So where I think a lot of people go wrong is they want to get, as Brian mentioned, three or four different buckets, and then it's, 20 grams of this, 30 grams of this. But then you got to look at, well, what hard feed are you feeding? Is the hard feed already high in magnesium? Is it low in calcium? Is it high in phosphorus? And then you got to balance that. And then I'll jump onto Feed Excel or some other platforms and, type it in. And then it's at, 98% and not at 100%. And the person freaks out and then adds even more something to it. And then it's like 20 supplements later, it's like their head is ready to explode, or they're reaching up for the eighth bottle of Chardonnay, just to calm their nerves.
Yeah.
But the point I'm trying to make is that we've already done all the heavy lifting. We've done all the legwork. We can pretty much balance any diet in Australia, and that includes pastures or hays with high iron. We've got very, very high zinc and copper. Mm-hmm. And that's not to brag. It's just we've taken obviously research on board. We've taken lab tests on board from hays and pastures, and that's throughout Australia, and then try to balance our products for Australian conditions.
Yeah, 100%, Peter. We're feeding thousands of horses in Australia. We have some of the most reputable studs and also trainers in every discipline, high level, having success. And we know every horse is different. We know they should be treated as an individual. There's so many factors from one side of Australia to the other. We don't just duplicate a diet from a top farm to another top farm because they could have a different pasture or hay ration. So we take the time to look through that. We also have those one-on-one consults that we love collecting the data, obviously in private, and then we try and identify the shortfalls that in the overall diets of Australia, and then we try and make those changes. And that's why the innovation comes through the Sen Lupin Pellet Plus, as you may have seen, and that's being released all over the country this month. And we just feel we're trying to support the horse in every way, and the benefits that we see from that improved formula is not only going to help the horse perform better but also feel better.
Yeah, 100%, Brian, echo those thoughts. Maybe from the outside, people might look at our, say, grain-free, for argument's sake, it might be $55, $60, and they're like, oh, geez, that's expensive. But then that same person's feeding a calcium supplement, magnesium supplement, they're feeding a digestive product, they're feeding something else. And when you tally up those three or four supplements, it might already be at $5, $6, $7 per day on supplements plus the hard feed, where, say, with the grain-free might be a kilo or a kilo and a half, you're at $3.50. And just to get your time back, you don't need to mix all your potions and powders and the kernels, herbs and spices. It's already there in a very palatable palate.
Yep, no, 100%, Peter. This other aspect I came across in the research for this podcast was you have to be a little bit skeptical of some science that is around. And when we looked at magnesium, which is often the main ingredient in calming supplements, you'll see that there is some research and that claims that it has a calming effect on horses. So this one journal that was referenced for the research was that they supplemented magnesium, and their conclusion was it significantly slowed the horse's reaction speed response. And when you dive down into it, okay, they did six standard bred geldings, And this research group concluded this because they actually compared it to a group that the same group, they medicated them and then compared those response times, and it came up kind of the same after the medication. But the point I'm trying to make is, so this same research group 3 years later did it on another group of horses, a little bit bigger population, so 18 horses, including Arabians and Thoroughbreds, and they didn't get the same results. So it didn't slow their reaction times down. So when you look at evidence and science, yes, it can be published in a way that really helps support what people are trying to say, that magnesium does calm. But what I'm trying to say is, don't take it as gospel, because every horse is different, the way they react. And then the way Sen simplifies it, or the way Peter and I simplify things down, is just ensure you have the levels for your horse and see how they react, or have whether they show any signs and symptoms of the magnesium deficiency. Don't just go off, oh, this is a calming supplement, I'm going to throw magnesium at it, it's been proven to help calm them. But in actual fact, that was only one study, and then there was another study that disproved it. So basically, we want to kind of try and separate the fact from fiction. And overall, if you can have a good quality product or good quality products in a diet, your overall magnesium level is what is most important.
Brian, just my two cents into that. What came into my head was a red flag. And what I mean by that was that with both of those trial groups, you don't know whether the medicated or the magnesium supplemented horses were actually deficient in magnesium.
Well, 100%. There's so many variables in that, because then they may have thought that standard breads, those six of them from the same trainer, is it something to do with the way that stable trains their horses and the response they got, whether they were used to that ACE medication and that. Yeah. So you make a very valid point, Pete.
Yeah, it's like, how long's a piece of string? So with those studies, it's very hard, obviously. And as Brian just mentioned, it's sort of inconclusive. So how you can get on the front foot as a horse owner is make sure that you're supplementing it every day. Don't wait or hope, God forbid, for the horse to become magnesium deficient, because then you're really, really going to be struggling. You get into the winter time where it's very hard to maintain condition if your diet isn't balanced. So just be on the front foot with it. This podcast is probably more so for anyone out there that is feeding powdered or any other sort of calming supplements or calcium supplements or magnesium supplements. Look at your overall diet. You might be, you know, even without that product, the supplement that you're feeding, your diet might already be sufficient in magnesium, and that's where we come in. We can look at your diet. You can either book online or give myself and Brian and Magellan a call. We can actually, you know, within 5-10 minutes, we can punch in a few numbers and know exactly whether you're on sort of on the cusp, or either in a red line or the green line. But it's mostly about people not wasting money and just feeding unnecessary supplements, especially if you can get it all balanced in a complete balanced diet.
Yeah, no, 100%, Peter. And I'd like to highlight a few other magnesium deficient signs that you might want to think about if your horse demonstrates this. So if the horse requires long periods of lunging before being able to focus on their work, could indicate a magnesium deficiency. There's another thing called thin-skinned or oversensitive to sound or movement. Also, a massage or chiropractic adjustment not having lasting effects, the horse teeth grinding, but then also other symptoms is like irregular heartbeat or a pounding heart. And this could be particular with endurance horses often experienced at vet checks.
Yeah.
So what we're saying is these symptoms, they may not be related to magnesium, but it has been shown that magnesium deficiency can contribute to this.
Yeah, and also through sweat, Brian. You know, most people just think, oh, well, you know, a horse sweats, we'll just give it some salt, or, you know, if they're lucky, they'll get an electrolyte. It's not just sodium chloride that's lost through sweat. You're going to lose a lot of minerals, vitamins. So that's where these need to be topped up. The more you work your horse, the more you compete with your horse, the bigger requirement that horse has. So what they lose, it needs to be replaced. And if you're not replacing at the same rate of what the loss is, then we create a deficiency.
Yeah, and what we're trying to ensure is that you have a daily amount of magnesium that is sufficient for your horse, so you don't have to reach out for injectables or shortcuts, because that's just playing catch up for an insufficient diet.
Yeah, I think we read somewhere, this is a while ago, one of our podcasts, that I think either vitamins or minerals – or both needed 4 to 6 weeks to be fed for a horse for it to get fully into the bloodstream and correct any deficiencies that might have been there. So, you know, just doing one injectable or something like that, as Brian mentioned, it's not even touching the sides.
Yeah, definitely, Pete. It can kind of lead to a false hope because you don't want to be relying on an injectable, especially when in nature a horse never gets injected. They just get their sufficient or they look for the nutrients they need. But also one question I've had in the past with diets, and there's a thing that we recommend salt, but Epsom salts. And some horse owners, they use this, but it is magnesium sulfate in the Epsom salt, but this can have a laxative effect if given daily. So that's not really a good way to supplement. But what we find is if you can have your balance, have your diet balanced like in the Send Feed program, then you don't have to worry about grabbing that extra supplement.
Yeah, 100%. And look, some people might need to feed an iodinized salt as well. Obviously, there's a couple of diets that we've seen recently that the iodine's been a little bit low. And so said, instead of reaching out for another supplement, I think we switched them to iodinized salt from the normal salt and it was fine.
Yeah, it's cheap and easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that pretty much covers it. Just our main points is make sure your magnesium levels are sufficient on a daily basis. Horses in light, medium, heavy work, that's especially this for the best contraction of their the best muscle function health, and every other body system, as we outlined before, really benefits from sufficient magnesium. Ensuring those higher levels ensures that there's more absorption going on and just ensures that the levels don't go into a chronic deficiency.
Yeah, I echo those thoughts. And my sort of two cents, Brian, is if anyone out there's listening is feeding magnesium supplement, or whether it's in a powdered form or in a pellet, maybe it's a good time to have a look at your diet, because you might not, or you may need, whether you're feeding enough of it or you may not need to feed at all. It's probably good to get your diet balanced. There's not much point sort of throwing money at the wall when you don't need to, especially if your horse doesn't need it. So we can look at doing a whole diet. It might not, might not need any tweaks, but it might also do need some tweaks. So
yep. So that about wraps this one up. I'd just like to say thank you for everyone's support, because even lately, we've had new listeners even call up our office just to thank us for the information. And even one listener found us on Spotify and nowhere else, and they were like researching horse nutrition and they went on a binge and listened to like 5 or 6 episodes and found it really interesting. So we really value your feedback. Spotify and Apple have a rating system as well, if you can tap the 5 stars or give feedback. Also, if there's any topics you guys would like us to cover off on, just email them in or get in contact with us through the users group. We're happy to have a look at it and see if we can research some information and try and sort out the facts and help everyone understand their horses better.
Yeah, I echo those thoughts, Brian.
Yeah, so we will have another podcast to you guys really soon. And yeah, we just thank everyone for their support.
Cheers, guys. Thanks.
Thank you.